So knowing the teaching now of the kinsman redeemer from the last 2 weeks, as we go over these charts and as we go over the words that we were to look up for today, you can begin to understand why there were so many references to blood, why there were so many references to the wrath and the earthquake and the plagues or the bowls of wrath and all, because this is what it's going to take to accomplish what our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back and what he's coming to redeem. We saw the first time, he's not just coming back to redeem people, he's doing that now. He's coming back to redeem the whole creation, which is what was lost to Satan. And Satan, we've seen, is the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world. Now, only can go as far as he's allowed, but he's in charge. And Jesus is coming back to make all things right. And that's what this is all about. That is what it's all about. We were to look up the five W's and, or to take into consideration the five W's and the H, the who, what, where, when, why, thank you, and how of interpretation. So now you can see the why has just been explained to you. Why is this happening? Because this is the only way it could happen in creation. God couldn't do it, the Father, because he had appointed the Son. It couldn't be any other way than a blood sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, and sin must be dealt with. Sin is the root cause of everything. And so when we see this, we are getting a glimpse into what he's telling who? What was this book written to do? Thank you. To tell his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. Now, shortly doesn't mean like in the next 15 minutes. It means once it starts, it's going to happen. Quickly. In the light of it's been 2,000 years since this was written. This short 7-year period is what he's talking about. So, to me, that was important, that you keep that in mind. Don't let it just go by. You know, some of us have done this book over and over and over and over and over, and we still have to be reminded every single time this white-headed lady stands up in front and decides she's going to teach this again. You see things that you need to be reminded of. You see new things every single time you study it. And so today, we are going to go over this chart, and I have pasted it up here with the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have it in 3 pages, and I've done those too. And so as we go over this, I want to explain to you again that as we see a sequence here, we see the 6 seals open in chapter 6. We see the 6 trumpets. But in the middle of all of that, you're going to see a break in the narrative, and there are going to be a series of chapters that don't have any seals, bowls, or because we speak language, one word right after the other. You read a book and you read chapter 1, you read chapter 2, and then all of a sudden this has got a backstory here that you've got to understand before you're going to understand what's coming ahead. That's all that's going on. John is to write in a book. And in order for us to understand it, God has chosen to write this the way he wrote Revelation, all 22 chapters. And so we see a progression of events. We see that as soon as the seventh seal is open, out come the trumpets. We see when the seventh trumpet is sounded, out come the seven bowls. And then, what does it say? It is finished. This time period, this seven-year period we have seen, is a time such as never has been before on the face of the earth and never shall be again. Why? You got to ask why. I want to know why. Don't you want to know why? That's why we taught the Kinsman Redeemer for the last 2 weeks. Jesus is coming back. What is he coming back to do? He's not just coming back to have tea and crumpets. He's coming back to do something very important, and that is to fulfill his promise way back here in the... Hey, Judy. Way back here in the Old Testament and bring it forward. Now, that ought to say something to you about God. Who's in charge? God is. Because when we look up these prophecies, we're going to see what he prophesied, and you're going to hopefully be so cognizant of what goes on in Revelation, it's going to fit right where it needs to fit. Because what have we done? We have marked words. We've marked phrases. We've marked time references. We've marked all of these things. And it wasn't just an exercise for a bunch of kindergartners. It was done so that when you see those same phrases that we're going to study, all of a sudden, your little ears are going to perk up. And you're going to say, whoa, I've heard that before. And I know where it fits. And so we're not just doing an exercise. We're doing something very important. I don't think there's anybody in this class or even listening who doesn't want to understand this book. I think that's why you're spending the time to do it. And I want you to understand it. As it is written, God has written his word. And there's a big warning at the end of Revelation, and there's one in Deuteronomy too, the same thing. Don't add to or take away. That's very important to me, because when I prayed to receive Christ, I said, Lord, keep me in a Bible study where I hear it straight from you. Tell me what's of you and what is not. I'm tired of men's opinions. I want to know it from you. And he has held my nose to the grindstone. Be careful what you pray. But that's why I'm here. I want to know what God has said, and I want to pass it on to you. And I know all of the penalties of a teacher who teaches false doctrine, and I don't want to do that. So, as we go into this, I want you to keep those things in mind. When we started all of this, I'm going to go up here and point, and I know you can't see it, but you've got this. Get out your three pages and put them in front of you, please. You see these seven seals right across the top of this chart, and you see what happens. Who opens the seal? Jesus. Because why? He's the only man, only one worthy. And where did we find that? Chapter what? 5. There was a dilemma in heaven. He who sat on the throne had this scroll, and no one was found worthy to open it. And why was he, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David? Because he purchased what? with his blood. You see the kinsman redeemer there? He purchased it. He bought us out of slavery. And he earned that right because he fulfilled the righteous demand of a holy God the Father that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And he's coming back to redeem and set it all right. And that doesn't mean just to take us to heaven. That means he's got this creation in mind. He's going to do something in this creation. And this is not just the earth, this is the universe. Because it's not like he meant it to be. So as we look at these things, we see that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is worthy to open these seals. We saw how the scroll, called a book here, but they didn't have books back then. It's a scroll. It's rolled up and it is sealed with seals, seven seals. When can that scroll be open? Not until the seventh seal is open, because it's still closed. I'm going to remind you of these things. Before that happens, we have a little break. And we have chapter 7 and 8. And in chapter 7, we saw beginning after this. What is after this? An expression of what?
Time.
What does it mean? Okay, after something else has happened, what we've just been told in chapter 6. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind could blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. Do not harm the earth or the sea or trees until we have sealed the bondservants of God on their foreheads. See, they're holding it back. No judgment has happened on this earth. We've read all six seals in chapter 6. But why hasn't it started yet? Seal number what? That hadn't been opened. And then the 144,000 are sealed, and you have this great multitude in heaven worshiping in God. They've come out of the great tribulation. They're praising God before the throne. And then in chapter 8, when the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour, half an hour. And another angel came out, stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints. That's a little golden altar right there. On the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and threw it to earth. That's the answer to prayer. And what happens? All of a sudden, there's that earthquake. What was one of the words that we looked up this week? Earthquake. What do you think that earthquake symbolizes when it's used right here? God's power. The power of God. All right. So now it's all begun. And because of what I have just shown you, this squarely there in Scripture, and it's hinted to, and even Michael hinted it Sunday morning when he taught 2 Peter. What I believe is when this white horse comes out in the first seal with the rider, and he had a bow. Didn't ever tell you he had an arrow. That's power. He had a crown, but it's a Stephanos. Remember, it's a victor's crown. It's not a diadem. A royal crown. And he came out And his mission was conquering and to conquer. And then we saw the red horse come out, and it was granted to take peace from the earth and made men slay one another, and he was given a great sword. This is war. And then as a result of that, the black horse comes out, and he has scales, and he's weighing the food, and you find out it's going to take a whole day's wages to buy the food for one. That's famine. And it comes as a result of the war and destruction and everything else. And then the fifth seal is broken, and you're taken into heaven, and you see the souls under the altar, that golden altar, theoretically. And what are they doing? They're crying out, "How long, O Lord, before you judge?" Well, you know what? You're going to see that prayer answered right here. Right here. In the seventh bowl from that altar. And then you see the sixth seal with another great earthquake, and the sun becomes black and the moon becomes blood and the stars fall to earth and the sky split apart in a scroll, and then men hide us in the rocks from the wrath of who? The Lamb, for the great day of whose wrath? Say, no. Read it.
Their wrath.
God the Father and the Son. Well, you can take those seals right here and set them over the timeline right here. And what they do is tell you who's involved, what to expect in this 7-year period. I believe they operate like an index to a book. And this is what's going to happen. It hadn't happened until you go read it, or until you go experience it in the rest of the book. Because the wrath is not explained until you get over here in these trumpets right here, which are the woes. And in these bowls poured out on Babylon the Great. Fallen is Babylon in 17 and 18. Right before what happens?
Jesus comes back.
Chapter. Say it loud. 19. And what happens there? Jesus comes again. And that, I think, because nobody has just drawn it out like we do here, but it's what's been described to me by too many people. And I really think that's what's happening. And I don't think you see it until you put it up here on the board and deal with these words. Because you don't see anything about wrath here, but you see here at the end. But let me explain something else to you. All of this is the wrath of God. All of it is. Because he's causing it to happen. Yes? Did you raise your hand?
Yes. I noticed when I was doing the time, the symbols for time, for the seal, the first one it says then, but all the rest of the seals it says when.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't necessarily mean it's after then.
That's right.
So, and I know that this would be somebody else's interpretation, but every time you see a picture of the four horsemen, they're all coming out together.
That's right.
So
that supports what we've just said.
Yes.
That's right. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And you see, she just saw that. This is your third time. Does that make everybody feel better? Okay, so then we saw the series of the trumpets coming out, and who the seals were broken by the Lamb, because he was worthy to open the book and break its seals. All right, who blew the trumpets? The angels. At whose direction? God's direction. Okay. And the first trumpet had to do with hail, fire, and blood. third of the earth was burned up, third of the trees burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second trumpet was blown, and something like a great mountain burning with fire thrown into the sea. Remember, I emphasized the word like, right? What is that like? A simile, a part of speech, part of the grammar that we use, and who developed the language or just decided how they were going to be put together? At the Tower of Babel, when he confused the languages and sent them in all different directions to confuse their plans. God did it. Who do you think designed mathematics? God did. Who do you think designed all the physical science and everything to make your body function or not function, or food to go in and do what it does, or sleep or anything else? God did. He is the creator of all things. He made it all out of nothing. Can anybody explain the mind of God? No. All right. Then the third trumpet, a great star fell from heaven. The rivers and the fresh waters being affected. And the star named Wormwood, and the waters became bitter. The men died from the waters. It was bitter or poison or like blood. The fourth trumpet blew, and a third of the sun and a third of the stars and a third of the stars were struck and darkened. So now you've got the salt water and the fresh water and the trees, and now all of the firmament and the air and all, and it is all being judged. How's God going to do all like that, all of that? Do you know? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that all of those things need redemption just like you and I do. They need to be made perfect all over again. All right. And then all of a sudden you see the word in the fourth trumpet, then. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And what are those three woes for? The blast of the three remaining trumpets. Number five. That's when the star had fallen from heaven. And that is, fifth trumpet is the first woe. And then you see that the star which had fallen from heaven was given the key to the bottomless pit, and smoke rose up, and out come the locust. And then it describes them. And they were to torment men. Do real locusts torment men?
No.
What do they eat?
Green.
Anything green. And what are they told not to touch? Anything green. These are not bugs. All right. They were to torment 5 months, which is a specific period of time. And then you meet the king, the angel of the abyss, and his name was Abaddon and Apollyon in Hebrew and Greek. There are only four angels. These are fallen angels. There are only four angels named in the Bible. Can you name the other two?
Gabriel and Michael.
These, as they would say in the country, bad dudes. You don't want to run into them. And then the sixth trumpet, which is the second woe. The angel sounds, and he's told to release the four angels bound in the Euphrates. And what did we say about these angels? Are good angels ever bound?
No.
What do the good angels do? What do the good angels do? They are messengers of who? God, to perform what he wants them to perform. Have we seen a bunch of angels in Revelation? We have. And what are they doing? They're blowing the trumpets just exactly like God told them to do. They're going and they're doing his bidding. Not ours. Not like you hear on today's media. Okay. They have been bound in the Euphrates and prepared for the day and year. And they kill a third of mankind. There are 200 million of them. Woo! With fire, brimstone, and smoke. Remember those three words. Fire, brimstone, and smoke. The rest of mankind, what? Did not repent. And all this judgment had 2,000 years of only man's inhumanity to man. And the good things too. But they've had 2,000 years with some of the most powerful witnesses the world has ever seen. And they didn't repent. They were not drawn by the love of God. And so God has turned up the heat here, really big time. And their heart is so evil, they did not repent. And you see that over and over and over and over. And because you see they did not repent, what do you think part of the purpose of God is in all of this? If they didn't repent when he was showering the gospel and blessings and everything during the age of grace? There is a chance that they could have repented, which is what I want you to see, because I have heard taught too many times that if you don't believe before this time period starts, no one's going to get saved. Now, you don't see that happening. That's not true. That is not true. And you're going to see martyrs in heaven. Who are they, was the question. They have come out of the great tribulation. They got saved. And they're believers. And somehow in all of this stuff that's going on, they have died. And you see them in heaven, just exactly like who promised? Jesus. Is he true? Yes, he is. Down to the last ounce, his word is true. They did not repent. And then the seventh, if you saw after the sixth trumpet, you will see in verse, is it 10, 7? The mystery of God is finished. You see up here after the sixth seal, the great day of their wrath has come. And it hasn't come when these seals are open. It comes down here. Right here. When these start. So there's another reason why I believe those six seals, and the seventh seal is open and it all starts. It's just a preview of what's going to happen during this time period. And here at the end of the sixth trumpet, the mystery of God is finished. We're not interpreting right now. We're just observing. We don't know what that mystery is yet. All right? And then in the seventh trumpet, which is the third woe, the kingdom, the heaven, the voice comes from heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. Now, reign doesn't necessarily mean sitting on the throne. It means taking back the power and bringing about that time period. And then the bowls are poured out. The first bowl poured out. It's the wrath of God, because the wrath of God is what the plagues are in these bowls. A malignant sore appears on the people who had taken the mark of the beast. Did any believer ever take the mark of the beast, 666, in this? No, they did not. Because they are sealed by God. Do you know, if you have belonged to the Lord, if you belong to the Lord, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And the blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart. Can you see it? Is anybody seeing this? No. It's not important that we see it. We know it, but we don't see it. Who sees it? God does. And we're going to see a picture of that. Not yet.
It would seem obvious that anyone who's taken the mark of the beast will not repent. They will never be.
No.
They have no choice.
Anymore. No.
They've made their choice.
Well, it's just like Pharaoh in Egypt when Moses said, "Let my people go, let my people go, let my people go." And it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. It's something that each individual does if they are not going to believe. There reaches a point of no return when God says, my spirit will not always strive with the souls of men. You harden your heart enough, and he'll, just like Jesus, he left town. He just left. Because he searches the heart. And I will quote Proverbs 23 verse 7 again. I believe that's it. 23:7.
The one you talked about, son?
Uh-huh. 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Don't read that in the NIV. It won't come anywhere near that. Michael quoted it out of New American Standard or King James Sunday. It matters who you believe. Because God searches the heart. And he sees the heart that is turned toward him in faith. And he saves it. All right. And we see you see what these bowls are being poured out on now? The second one is poured out on the sea and it became like blood. And everything in the sea died. The third bowl poured out on the rivers and the streams. These men are affected. He is redeeming creation. Everything. All right? Poured out on the sun, and sun scorched men with fire, fierce heat. Men blasphemed and they did not repent. You see it over and over and over. The world has just turned into pure evil, and Michael even quoted the verse in Luke, will there be faith on earth when he comes back? This is what Luke is pointing toward. But stick around, because you'll find out, there's a remnant of believers still on this earth that God is bringing through the fire. The sun he's taken out. But he's bringing a faithful remnant through all this. And you'll see what happens to them. I'll give you a hint. They're called sheep. They're not goats. They're sheep. Go look it up. And then the seventh is poured out on the air. And a voice from the temple. It is done. And then a mighty earthquake hits. What is this? The power of God to shake the world, to shake it. It is done. And Babylon the Great has been remembered. Her sins have been remembered before God, and she gets the fierce wrath of God, and men blasphemed God. And that's chapter 18. What comes right after chapter 18? Chapter 19. Yay! And he's coming back for a purpose. All right? So, that is your chart. And it's on there for you to see the progression of events and the basic things of what happens in those trumpets. There's a whole bunch of other information that's there, but the important thing to see is what the judgment is in these trumpets and bowls. Let's go now to our words that we were to look up for this week. First, I want to go over these promises that God made to the seven churches that we studied last fall. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. Where did we see that? Twenty-one and twenty-two. That's in heaven, right? All right. Did you see believers in heaven? Yes. All right. Then he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Have we seen the second death? Please nod your head. Yes. We thank you very much. Chapter 20. In the great white throne judgment. Who is not going to be hurt by the second death? Believers, because they were part of the first resurrection. Don't forget those two terms, the first resurrection and the second death. Okay? To the church at Pergamum, he promised them some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it. We don't know about that yet, do we? In 2:26, he who overcomes, and these are only given to overcomers. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. He has overcome it. Why? Because he paid the sacrifice. He went to the cross and shed his blood. He died. He was buried. Third day he arose from the dead because the sacrifice was accepted. All sufficient, that blood. He was raised from the dead. He is now seated where? At the right hand of his Father's throne in heaven. And he's coming again. You see that? All right. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. When is he going to do that? Somebody? When will he rule with a rod of iron? What?
When he returns.
When he returns to do what? Yes.
Judge.
No. To set up his kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
To set up his kingdom. All right? And he who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments. Would you see the souls under the altar and the martyrs in heaven? What did they have on?
White
garments. Why were they white? They were washed in the blood of the Lamb, taken care of their sin, taken away as far as the east is from the west. And in chapter 19, you saw the myriads behind the Lord coming back. They were all clothed in white garments. Every time you see an angel in Scripture, what color are their garments?
White.
All right. And I will not erase his name from the book of life, which is a promise. The moment you're saved forever. And there is no possibility that that would ever happen. And David prayed that after he had sinned. And he said, do not erase my name. Do not take my name away from the book of life. But that was a statement that David knew for sure. Was it a rhetorical statement? What is it said? I don't know what kind of fancy name they'll put on those grammaticians. Grammarians, whoever they are. There was no possibility of that, period, because David knew whom he believed, and he knew that he was going to continue that relationship until he saw him face to face, and then everything would be all new. Okay, then in Revelation 3:10, and this may be my favorite one, Because you, the overcomers, have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from that hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. Does that sound familiar? I mean, some of that we've seen. So is there any doubt in your mind, those who dwell on the earth? You don't see that in other parts of the Bible, really. You see it right here. So what's his promise to keep you out of?
That hour.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
Yes.
And then he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Have we seen that temple in 21 and 22? And it will not need a light because the Lamb will be its light, and we'll all be there forever and ever worshiping the Lord and doing His will and ruling and reigning with Him. I will write upon Him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And you see that in 21, and that's heaven. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. That's a promise to believers. In the Spirit, let's look at that now. From page 21 and 22. The first time we see it, John is speaking and he's in chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. And what does John see? In verse 10, you turn the page, and what do you see?
Jesus.
You see who?
Jesus.
Jesus. And what is he doing? I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man. This is Jesus, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and hair were white like wool. His feet were burnished bronze. His voice was like the sound of many waters. And he had seven stars in his right hand, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Where have you seen a picture of Jesus almost exactly like this? Chapter? Just guess at it. 19. There you go. There you go. All of this is a picture. All of this is a picture. Okay? And where is Jesus? He is between the lampstands. What was John supposed to write in chapter 19? The things which you saw, the things which are, and the things that shall take place after these things. That's chapter 1, chapters 2 and 3, the things which are, and the things that shall take place after these things. And this one, when he's in the Spirit, he is shown the vision of the one who is coming to redeem the creation. And at that point, he is walking between the lampstands, and the lampstands are the church. And we see that in chapters 2 and 3. And then we see chapter 4, verse 2. And chapter 4 begins with what phrase? After these things. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. So where are we going to be when this starts? In heaven. And the first voice which I had heard was like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I must show you what these things to take place after these things. So from chapter 4 and 5, which is the vision in heaven, from chapter 6 all the way through is what's going to take place after these things. And what's going to take place, actually, in this section here is between chapter 6 and through chapter 16, when the bowls are poured out. All right? And then the next time we see John in the Spirit, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns, and that takes place in chapter 17. 17 and 18 is the description of this one world empire ruled over by the Antichrist, who Satan has given him his power. We saw that in chapter 13. And the whole thing is judged. And when that is finished, at the end of chapter 18, it says, the fierce wrath of God, it is finished. So you see, John was taken in the Spirit to show him these sections of what is going on. And then we were to look up the words and the wrath of God. In 6:16, we saw that the wrath, we've already seen this, we've talked about it, the wrath of the Lamb and their wrath. This is the wrath of God executed by the wrath of the Lamb. But it's the wrath of the Trinity. They never operate separately. They each have different jobs, as we've seen in Scripture. We can't describe it. We can't explain it. We don't understand it. But one is never doing something that is not in full accord with the three parts. I mean, I even hate to talk about it because I know I'm going to get it wrong. But this is what's going on. And then we saw in Revelation 11:18, and the nations were enraged. What happens in chapter 11? The two witnesses. Thank you. You're learning. And then it says, and thy wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and the time to give their reward to the saints. Which shows you what we studied already, and that's God knows how to judge the wicked and protect his saints. And we saw how he saved Noah and his righteous family above the waters of the flood. The rest of them were destroyed. They were all sinners. They were all vile people in the eyes of God. We saw it happen in Noah's day, and we know that God knows how to protect his own, and here it says, it's time for the dead to be judged. And it doesn't mean it happens here in 11:18. It means it's coming. It's time to begin. The bondservants, the prophets, and to the saints, and those who fear thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy the earth. You see the contrast there? It's coming from God. He's the who that's doing it on an unbelieving and sinful world that still has his people in it. All right. In chapter 12, verse 2, rejoice, O heavens, and ye who dwell in them. Who dwells in heaven? The saints. Who are the saints? Those set apart unto God, believers. Okay, Miss Anita, you answered the question. Where do you dwell? You're sitting here this morning.
Well, I'm here temporarily.
That's right. You know what you are? You're an alien. That's what Scripture calls you. You're an alien because you're passing through. All right. When did your citizenship change? When you first believed in Jesus. And he saw the faith in your heart and the wanting to know the truth. And the Holy Spirit raised the veil and let you see it. And that's when your knees went down and you surrendered to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what happened, whether you realized it or not. That's what happened. And the blood was applied to your heart. And you were allowed to be called a child of God. And your citizenship is not of this world now. It is in heaven, reserved. for you. And he said, I'm coming again to get you, and if it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come and receive you unto myself. That sounds exciting. All right. Then it says, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Whoa. Where are we seeing woe? We've seen it big time in trumpet number 4. Woe, woe, woe. And then the 5, 6, and 7 are the 3 woes. And then we saw woe at the end. No, we didn't. That's a green thing. Okay. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. What do we know that happens to the devil and all of his angels? He's thrown into the lake of fire by Jesus. Okay? He has only a short time. Behold, I come quickly. You see? It's going to happen fast. All right. In chapter 12, there were 2 throwing downs of Satan that we talked about. Does anybody remember which one this is? He was thrown out of heaven when he sinned to begin with, which was before the foundation of the earth. And God created the earth, and then Satan was already there. He came into the garden and messed things up a little bit. This time he was thrown out of heaven again. And we saw a star falling out here in the 5th trumpet. And he opens the bottomless pit. And out come the locusts, the demons. Woe to you who dwell on the earth, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. We learned something else there, didn't we? All right. In Revelation 14:10, he said he will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. These are the earth dwellers who took the mark of the beast. Anyone who worships the beast.
14:9 tells you that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. 14:9 tells you that. But we're looking at wrath right here, and it's in 14:10. But this is, you're right, Penny. That's exactly who it's talking about. Then we saw wrath talk about in chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels who had the 7 plagues. That's the bowls of wrath, which are the last, because in them, what does it say about wrath of God? It is finished. So that's why right here, after the 7 bowls, it says the wrath of God is finished. It says so. It says so back in chapter 15. That this doesn't happen until that bowl is poured out by the angel. And then you see it described in 17 and 18. You see these chapters that are in between all these things, it describe to you what's going on. All right. And then in 19:15, Jesus comes on his white horse, and he comes, what does it say? He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. He is coming to judge the earth. That's what he's coming for. Why don't you see the wrath of God in verses 21 and 22? This is a trick question. Can you answer it? Oh, you have a question. All right. It's right there. I sent it to you. You just didn't turn over and look at your page. It's Revelation 18:9. No. 19:15. I sent you those scriptures. Okay? All right. And so, now I've lost my thing. What did I ask?
You asked
a trick question.
What? Why didn't you see wrath in 21 and 22? Where are you?
In heaven.
What's not in heaven? What's not in heaven? Sin. The wrath of God is against sin. There's no sin there. You didn't have to find wrath there because it isn't there. Oh, what a day. Woe. Is woe ever good? No. That's right. and when it's bad, you say, oh, woe is me. Okay. And I looked and I heard an angel flying in mid-heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. To who?
Earth dwellers.
Those who dwell on the earth, the EDs. Are they believers?
No.
Because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. That's why we said that trumpet number 5, 6, and 7 are those three woes. And they're not good. And they're against those who dwell on the earth. And in 11:14, it tells you what has just happened in 11:14. The two witnesses have been killed by the beast and they're allowed and will not bury them for, what is it, 3 days, 3.5 days? They lie in the streets dead and everybody sees them, and then all of a sudden the voice out of heaven says, come up here, and these two guys rise and they're alive. And you see them go into heaven. And then it says, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly, which means that seventh trumpet is going to sound. But it hasn't sounded yet. It waits a while, doesn't it? There's some things we have to understand. There's some things we have to be told of what's going on. So we're going to take a pause between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. All right. And then in 12:12, rejoice, O heavens, and ye who dwell in them. Who are they? Believers. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath. We've just saw that when we looked at wrath. All right. And then in 18, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment is come. This is the world system at that time, overruled by the Antichrist. This is the 10-toe world empire of Daniel's statue in chapter 2, when the stone uncut by human hands comes down out of heaven and crushes all the world empires. And of course, when those feet and 10 toes are crushed, the whole statue, all mankind's empires crush, go right down into dust. And this stone will set up a kingdom that will have no end. And who is this? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, coming in chapter 19 to do what? What does Daniel chapter 2 tell you this stone is going to do? Set up a kingdom that will never end, an everlasting kingdom. Okay. What was the result of the reaction of these earth dwellers when all of this happened, of these woes happened? What did they do? They did not repent and they blasphemed God. Their heart was deceitfully wicked and at that point unredeemable. Then let's look at the earthquakes. In 6:12 and the sixth seal, we saw There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became like blood in that sixth seal right there. And then we saw the description in the second bowl. It was poured out on the sea, and it became like blood. The rivers and streams became like blood. The fourth bowl was poured out on the sun, the throne of the beast, and all of this. We see that, and we're going to see that prophecy in the Old Testament before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And we're going to find out what the day of the Lord is. And we're going to write a list of what happens there, so that we'll see other periods of time that are not described that way. That's going to make you happy. All right? We're looking at the earthquake now, and we've already determined just by what we saw in the chart there with the seals, trumpets, and bowls, it's the power of God. And the angel took the censer in chapter 8 and filled it with fire that we talked about. This one who's, they're holding back the four winds, and then all of a sudden it's time to go. Silence in heaven. And then he takes the censer and he's answering the prayers. Takes the fire from that altar and throws it to earth, and then it all starts. And what happens? Sounds and peals of thunder, sounds and flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Judgment has begun. In 11:13, we see, and in that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. We're going to see about that in a little while, but the two witnesses have just been risen from the dead, called out. Breath of life came back into them, and they rose into heaven, and all the whole world watched. In 11:19, remember, the seventh trumpet is about to sound. And what comes out of the seventh trumpet? The bowl, seven bowls of wrath. All right. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was open, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and earthquake and a great hailstorm. Woo, that's big. And it came from the Ark of the Covenant, where the law of God, who man broke through sin, and he is coming with those final judgments at this point. In 16:18, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such has not been since man came upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, so mighty. This is the final seventh bowl poured out on the air, and then the proclamation, it is done. And then you've got chapters 17 and 18 that describe you to you what was done with this empire that's been raging now for 7 years. Babylon, this false empire, sinful, gets the fierce wrath of God, and the reaction to it from these people who dwell on the earth is they blasphemed God. Plague, we were to look up and see the occurrences of plague in the book. And plagues, some translations use plagues, others use wrath. These seven bowls, and they're not deep bowls, they're very shallow bowls. And they're not just streamed out like you would making mayonnaise. Streaming the oil into the blender, making mayonnaise. This is dumped out. They're shallow bowls, full of the wrath of God. And they go, bang. It happens fast. third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by fire, smoke, and brimstone. Remember I told you to remember those words? Those come in the judgment of God. Where do you see fire, smoke, and brimstone? In the lake of fire. And what was the reaction in 9:20? The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the work of their hands. So as not to worship the demons. What? That's right. Because they were worshiping the demons. Satan is a demon. And the idols of gold and of silver and brass and stone and wood, which you can neither see nor hear nor walk. These are all the false gods. They don't need to be named. They just are not God. And they did not repent. Their hearts were so hardened. In 11:6, these are the two witnesses. They, these two witnesses, have the power to shut up the sky in order that the rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire. Moses is one of them. What did he do in Egypt? The plagues. That's exactly what he did. All of them in Egypt got the same reaction there too. In desperation, Pharaoh hardened his heart, but he said, go.
And then he went after him.
What?
And then he went after him.
Yes, right. And it did not end well. Bones in the bottom of the sea. And I saw another sign in heaven in 15:1, great and marvelous. Seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. That's why that little cross and red thing at the end.
It's the first time I've ever noticed that, but it says in them, in all of these bowls, the wrath of God is finished.
Uh-huh.
It's not like they have to wait for the last one.
No, it's all wrath. That's right. It is finished. And the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen. 15:6, this tells us, describe these seven angels, clothed in clean and bright linen. What color was it? White. And girded around their breasts with golden girdles. This is holiness and purity of these angels, as opposed to the ones that were bound in the Euphrates, as opposed to all the other ones that we have seen in form or described as locusts. Oh, no, it's fearsome things. In Revelation 15:8, and the temple was filled, this is in heaven, with the smoke from the glory of God. This is the glory and the power of God, and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels was finished. Where do these plagues come from? And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God because they knew where it came from. It came from God, who has the power over these plagues. You see that? And they did not repent so as to give him glory. They were worshiping Satan and his demons. In 16:21, and huge hailstorms, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Were these believers? No. In 18, this is during the judgment of Babylon the Great, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, that you may not receive of her plagues. What is he calling them to do? Repent. You see, even in the midst of the last of the last of these horrible judgments, they did not repent, and yet God was still saying, come unto me. How that breaks his heart. It's not that he didn't win. It's that they had chosen what is about to come upon them. To be sent to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever with no hope. That's it. That is the second death. For this reason, in one day, that's very swiftly, her plagues will come, pestilence, mourning, famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. In 21:9, where is this? Heaven. Then one of the seven angels who had past tense, the seven bowls of the seven last plagues came and spoke to me saying, come here and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Who's that? That's us. That's the church. Do you see a contrast? He mentions this angel that had the seven plagues who was poured out on the earth on all the on non-believers. And you look at what was promised to them because they did not repent. And here are the believers who did and who belonged to Jesus and were saved by His blood. And here they are in heaven, and the angel said, look at them. I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. What's the bride most of the time always clothed in? White. In 22:18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Who's speaking? Jesus. If anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues which are written in this book. These are people who willingly distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's another warning in the last book of the Torah in Deuteronomy. Same thing. Don't add to or take away from them. And look at what's being preached in the world today. Other than the pure, unadulterated Word of God as He wrote it. Doesn't mean someone can just make a mistake and misinterpret it. You know, there's certain things you can't get wrong. This is a fearsome thing because we've seen what severe judgment is for them. And now in the last 10 minutes we want to look at the blood. In chapter 5, verse 9, where are we in chapter 5? In heaven. I'm giving you a little test because I want you to know where all these things occur in the book. I want you to be able to begin to recognize the verse and what's there. And the verse and which part of it is in the seals, trumpets, and bowls. And which part of it is in heaven pointing to that time that is coming. And this is in heaven. And they sang a new song. Worthy art thou to take the book and break its seals. Who are they talking about?
Jesus,
the Lamb of God. For thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. God is no respecter of people. He calls believers to Himself. In Revelation 6:10, they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? These are in heaven because they're under that altar. They're in the part of chapter 6, in the sixth seal. Was it the fifth one?
Huh? Just the
fifth one. Thank you.
6:9. Right.
Fifth seal. Our blood on those who dwell on the earth. These are martyrs. And the blood here is not the blood of Jesus. They're there because of the blood of Jesus, but this is their blood. These were martyrs. They were killed by those who dwell on the earth. And I've never found that it mentions only those that came out of the Great Tribulation. All the martyrs of all generations that were killed because of their testimony. And look at what happened under Queen Mary of England. when some of the greatest ones, that John Wycliffe, all the Bible translators, those who, the reformers, they did not meet a happy death. But they were happy because of who, where they went.
In the Middle East today.
Huh?
And in the Middle East today.
Okay. And in 6:12, and I looked, and he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. That's the power of God. And the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. Does this remind you of our blood moons that we just saw?
We're about to have a pink moon.
Well, there were three successive blood moons, 2 years together. And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me in 7:14, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We've talked about that. Took their sin away and made them clean and white as snow. In 8:7, and the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and the third of the earth was burned up, and the third of the trees burned up, and all the green grass. And that is in that trumpet right up there. First trumpet. The second trumpet is in 8:8, and the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Death. Okay? And in 11:6, these two witnesses, that's who these refers to, have the power to shut up the sky in order to rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have the power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire by the power of God. And they can do that because God designated them to do that. Don't go outside and try it. It's not going to work. No matter who you want to get it right then, it's not going to work. All right. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. These are the believers. They overcame them, the earth dwellers, because of the blood of the Lamb. He overcame, and they were overcomers because of his blood. They didn't do it in their own power. All right. And Revelation 14:20. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. And what is going on here in this part of the overview? The battle of what?
Armageddon.
That's how much death the Lord is coming to slay and destroy. And you see this in 17 and 18. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man. We've seen that in the bowl. And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers, and they became like blood. It's all being judged. And in 16, they, the earth dwellers, poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, and they deserve it. It's poison. Their judgment and all. I mean, it's blood. Everywhere. But the redeeming blood of the Lord, as opposed to the blood and the death. Because you're either going to have life in him or you've chosen death. And that just doesn't mean going off into oblivion. We've seen no one ever spiritually dies. You either die spiritually alive in Christ or you die spiritually dead. And your destination is the lake of fire. That is the second death. You're spiritually dead and you are dead life-wise body, soul, and spirit forever and ever and ever in that lake of fire where the fires never cease. Worm dies not, and the fire never ceases. Talk about being saved out of that. In 17:6, the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints. This is that world empire ruled over by Antichrist. And she was in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who have been slain on the earth because of the persecution of all believers at this point. And in 19:2, hallelujah, 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 four times, isn't that great? Where are we? In heaven. Soon as 19 starts, because his, Jesus' judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot, that's Babylon, the world empire, who was corrupting the earth with her immorality of all kinds, mainly through false gods, that's Satan. And he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And in 19:13, he is clothed and with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He's there at the Battle of Armageddon, and his robe is dipped in that blood up to the horse's bridles. We're all behind him. We don't fight, but he does with the word of his mouth, and it's done. It's done. And hallelujah, we're done. Praise the Lord. Father, we just come before you and thank you that the end doesn't look very happy for the rest of the world, but boy, we just can't wait to get there. We can't wait to see you coming on that white horse because we know that we'll be with you. And Lord, that great day of the Lord God Almighty, and we know what you're going to do. You're going to make all things right. And Father, we long for that day. We know that with John in chapter 10, when he was told to eat that little book, got to go through some bad stuff to get there. But Lord, you are righteous. You are true. You know the end from the beginning, and you're bringing it to pass. Praise the Lord that you have told your bondservants the things that must shortly take place. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.